Welcome back. You're listening to Talk with Audrey. American Legion National Commander Charles Schmidt is a Vietnam War veteran, loves his country, but believes that America could do more to love those who've worn the uniform and protect our way of life. And he's calling on all of us to include the treatment of veterans and families as a top priority to make America even greater. Welcome, Commander, to Talk with Audrey.
Well, thank you, Audrey, and it's a pleasure to be with you this morning.
I always love having you on the show because... because you have so much wonderful information. So before we talk about how we can all help to make America greater, for those folks who hear about the American Legion but aren't quite sure what you do, would you just bring us all up to speed?
Well, I will, Audrey, and I hope I have enough time to do that because the American Legion has been doing wonderful things since its inception in 1919. As you know, the war in Europe was over, and the Doughboys, the leadership of the American Expeditionary Forces, were concerned about who's going to take care of the boys when they go home, and there was no government system set up such as a VA. And as a result, in 1920s, the American Legion was very instrumental in starting the VA. And I might back up just a second. It was the Doughboys that started the American Legion. In just 8 months, they rose to 700,000 members and formed 5,000 or more American Legion posts across the United States. And to get together and present their case to take care of veterans. And as a result, as I just said, the VA was formed. And also they developed programs for youth, the education of our youth, and also to take care and advocate for veterans. And today we have such outstanding youth programs that are highly respected in the educational field, such as Boy State, and, of course, the American Legion Auxiliary has Girl State. 3 weeks ago, Audrey, we were in Indianapolis, Indiana, to see the final competition of our oratorical contest, a speech contest on the Constitution of the United States. We're getting ready to have our American Legion Baseball World Series later this summer in Shelby, North Carolina in August. Our junior shooting sports program is going to have its finals in Colorado Springs this summer. So we have a lot of things going on. And in addition to that, we advocate every day for veterans. We're on Capitol Hill, our staff and our members, to advocate for increased funding for the VA, give the VA secretary greater accountability, also a strong national defense, and just many, many things that our organization continues to do day in and day out. And Audrey, as you know, we have a couple of mottos in the American Legion. It's one is veterans serving veterans, and the other one is veterans still serving America. So we're busy all the time, Audrey.
And you know what? You're right. Veterans are always serving America, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
It's like it's never ending. The commitment to service is never ending. It seems what our veterans are willing to give. Let's go back just a second, if we could, Commander.
Sure.
You used a word, doughboys. Right.
Right.
Now, you know what that means, but could you give us a little historical context of doughboys, just so that people really understand here?
Well, the doughboys, I'm referring to those boys, as they were, they've been called boys, and I guess there's many of them were men, too. Those are the ones that went to Europe in the late 1918, as the U.S.'s entry into World War One. And, of course, we were a late entry, but that entry helped save Europe from tyranny and possibly the collapse of our country. And Audrey, when I was in Kansas City on April 6th to participate in the commemoration of the U.S. entry into the war, the focus was on those boys, as doughboys as they're called. They helped save the world, and also they came back and to take care of one another. That bond that was still that started on those battlefields, they formed the American Legion, and today it's we have inherited that legacy that they started of taking care of veterans, taking care of their families, giving youth an opportunity, and to grow into outstanding citizens. So that's a great legacy that we've inherited. But it was started by those doughboys, those World War I soldiers that represented our country and helped save a continent.
And to date, you have like 2.2 million members?
Yes, ma'am. We got 2.2 million members. And, of course, the American Legion Auxiliary, the largest women's patriotic organization in the world, consists of about 700,000 members. We have Sons of the American Legion, which are male descendants of veterans who didn't serve in the military but still want to serve veterans in perhaps honor of a mother and or father, and they consist of about 400,000. So we have a great American Legion family that still serves veterans and still serves America.
Well, I just learned something new from you, Commander. I wasn't aware that if you weren't a veteran that you could still participate with the American Legion in a way, and yeah, I had no idea.
Yes, Audrey, the Sons of the American Legion, and again, it's sons, grandsons, male descendants of veterans that didn't serve, can join the Sons of the American Legion. And the Sons of the American Legion was established in 1932 at the American Legion National Convention in Portland, Oregon. And that's when the Sons were born. And the Sons do wonderful things today, and many of them are veterans themselves. Many of them are not, but they serve in honor of someone, a mom and or dad, or in some cases maybe both, who were veterans. So just another dimension of our American Legion family.
And so how can people participate if they'd like to? Is there a website? I'd like to get that out right now so that people can keep that in their mind.
Absolutely. We got a great web page, Audrey. It's www.legion.org. And you can go onto that website, and you can learn about those youth programs we have, about those career job fairs that we have and partner with the Department of Labor and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce across the United States. You can go in and learn about our legislative priorities that we're advocating for veterans and their families on Capitol Hill. You can even join the American Legion on that line, Audrey. And if you want to know where the nearest American Legion post is, there's a drop-down menu of under departments. And you can find an American Legion post if you just even like to visit American Legion post. So we got a very informative web page, and as we're on Facebook as well, and also Twitter.
Great. And there's no cost to becoming a member, am I correct?
Well, there is a cost of a member. Each post determines their own dues. And
okay.
So there there is a annual dues membership. And, of course, we also have a paid up for life membership plan if a veteran so chooses to use that.
All right. Okay. So, guys, you've got the website, and if you'd like to check out the American Legion, get involved, you can do that too. So I know, Commander, that there are a lot of important issues that are facing veterans today. Let's talk about some of them.
Sure. Well, right now, Audrey, we're starting to see some traction on the Appeals Modernization Bill. And, of course, when I talk about appeals, you know, a veteran may want to file a claim, particularly as a result of their service-related, service-connected illness, wounds, disability. And that goes through a process and through the VA. And as a result, not all of those claims are approved. Some of them, many of them, are denied. But as a result of that, the veteran has the right to appeal. And so that appeals process is a much slower process. It takes a lot more thorough review. But that process has backed up so many appeals that, Audrey, it's sad that veterans have been waiting years for their appeals to come up for adjudication. And unfortunately, in some cases, those appeals will outlive the veterans, and that is wrong. And the American Legion has taken a strong stand is we need to improve that process. And as a result, the VA listened and included several of the major larger veteran service organizations, and they sat down and they came up with a process that streamlines that and cuts a lot of that waiting time down, but yet gives the veterans appeals full justice. Well, that got approved by the House in the 114th Congress, and that took place in this past October. But unfortunately, Audrey, we know in November we had a national election, and the focus was on that, and many in Congress went into recess and went back home to their own districts because they were running for re-election themselves. So the Senate did not get an opportunity to address that bill in the 114th Congress, and thus the year ended, and now we got a new Congress. So we had to start over with that bill, the Appeals Modernization Bill. And during my testimony to the House and Senate Veterans Affairs Committee on March 1st, that was one of our legislative priorities, is pass the Appeals Modernization Bill. Don't let those veterans wait much longer, more years, as the case has been. And we're getting some traction on that, and I've been having some pretty good assurances from some of those in the House and Veterans Senate committees that they're going to work together to get that passed. So that's one of our priorities. And, of course, to continue to improve health care, health or accessibility to the VA is always a concern, and we continue to work with the VA to improve that. And a lot of veterans still prefer, even if they have to wait an extra week or two to get that appointment, to go to the VA. And we're going to continue to work with the VA because we believe it is a system worth saving.
Wow. You know, it just amazes me that you'd have to start all over again. I mean, you know, we're talking about people's lives, and we're talking about a process that clearly needs to be streamlined. What holds it up? Is it I understand the whole legislative and, you know, all that rigmarole.
Well, but, unfortunately, you know, that's our political part of our political process. So, but
you still have our men and women going to war,
yes,
and coming home and having real needs for health care and what have you. So it's not like, you know, they're not probably in great numbers, i.e., World War One or World War Two or even the Vietnam War, but there's still significant numbers of people who need care, and to think that their appeals are just sort of backlogged is mind-boggling.
Well, and because it's appeals, as I said, you know, it's going to require a little more deeper review, which is going to take a little bit more time. So hopefully we can, by streamlining the process, yet still give the veteran full justice to his or her appeal, that we're going to cut down that downtime. But we need Congress to get that approved so we can get that engaged and continue to work that. And as you know, as you said, there's still men and women in uniform and serving in places in harm's way. And the VA, whether it's health care or education or career opportunities or even entitlements and benefits, you still have the older veterans, such as us Vietnam veterans and Korea and those from World War II using the VA. And on the other side, we have the newer veterans as a result of Iraq, Afghanistan, Panama, Grenada, Somalia, Lebanon, that, you know, are coming toward the VA. So VA is, you know, the tasking is getting a little heavier, but we're going to continue to work with them. And as I've said before, we're friends of the VA, and if something is not working right, we're certainly going to tell them, because friends are honest with friends, Audrey.
Yes, well, be real honest, okay? We want everybody to be real honest. And if you're a veteran listening to this, again, I want you to think about going to that American Legion site if you're not already a member, and seeing how you can participate to help this process along, because I know the commander has all of these other organizations behind him helping to push it through. But sometimes your voice can really make a difference. So keep that in mind, if you would, please. Commander,
exactly.
I understand you're... I'm sorry, go ahead, please.
Audrey, and I like to say that you know, even if you're not a veteran, but yet you care about the veteran, the men and women that have served this country, and even that will serve in the country in the future, you can always write your congressman or communicate with him or her, and again remind them that they represent a grateful nation, and a grateful nation, I believe, owes the gratitude to those who have served.
Absolutely. So, Commander, I understand that you're preparing to visit Europe.
Yes, we are. We're going to Europe later this month, and as you know, as I said previously here, the American Legion was born in Paris, France, but in Europe we have a large American military contingency of military members and their families. We're going to be visiting them, and we're going to have some town hall meetings and see if we can learn more about how the American Legion family, the Legion Auxiliary, and the Sons of the American Legion can serve them not only while they're there, but when they come home and when they leave the service. And we're also going to be in Normandy on June 6th on D-Day to participate and remember the service and the sacrifice that took place on those beautiful beaches over there, and also honor those that now rest over there in those beautiful cemeteries, and represent our Legion and certainly our country.
And our freedom, because freedom isn't free, is it?
Yes, that's very correct. And as you look at those cemeteries over there, and we're also going to visit a couple in Luxembourg and in Brussels, you have to keep that in mind, that there is a cost for freedom, and it's very evident when you visit those cemeteries.
Commander Schmidt, that website again, I really want people to go there right now.
Well, Audrey,
right now.
www.legion.org.
All right. Now, guys, we can all help to make America greater. America is already great, but I think, you know, keeping in mind and close to our hearts all those people who sacrifice their lives, who are still sacrificing their lives for their service to our country, is something that we all need to be grateful for. Commander Schmidt, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Audrey. It's been an honor and a pleasure, and you have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too. And we'll be right back after this.